Let's move down now into the parable of the householder. Jesus saith unto them, verse 50-51, Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood? Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. I doubt that they did so, but they said yea. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. Now, here's the parable of the householder is contingent upon his question, have you understood? And have you understood all these things? Because what he gave them were things old and things new. Have you understood? Therefore, every scribe. Now, I said there are seven mysteries of the kingdom, and there's seven parables about the mysteries, and then there's a parable about the parable, and that's the parable of the householder. The first seven describe the kingdom, but the last one describes the householder who has understood the thing of the kingdom, the mystery of the kingdom. And he uses this word scribe, and that's significant and curious. Generally, he uses the word disciple. If you'll be a disciple, you'll follow me, or my servant, or my friend, or my children, or my beloved. But he uses this term scribe here now. Why does he use that? Well, it's very significant. I don't know whether we have any scribes here or not. I do a little writing. And we generally associate scribes with writing. And in the strict interpretation, that's pretty well what it means. But the word scribe here is the word from which we get our word grammar. Grammar. And when I say grammar, you realize I'm not talking about your grandma. I'm talking about that science of words and communication. A scribe is one who makes informative records. A scribe is someone who makes informative records, who records. The brother said the other night, our responsibility is not to make the gospel acceptable, but to make it available. And the gospel is a record of what God has done in Christ Jesus. It's a declaration of the facts of truth. That's what a scribe does. He makes a record. You remember when Paul writes to the Corinthians in the second letter, when he says, ye are the epistle of Jesus Christ, written in the hearts of men, not with ink, not in stone tables, but with the Spirit of God in the hearts of men. Ye are the gospel. Ye are the record. A scribe is one who makes informative records. He communicates information, declarative truth. And he does this by writing, but it's also done by speaking. Scribe has to do with writing, with communicating with words, records, truth, speaking. Every scribe, you never considered yourself a scribe before. Oh, we generally associate that with an evil thought. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, the scribes were simply the folks that were entrusted with keeping God's record before the people. That's what they were. Pharisee, that's not necessarily a bad word. Pharisees were godly folks. They really were. Paul was a Pharisee, never denied the fact that he was a Pharisee. Still was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee when he died. He was a Christian Pharisee. This simply meant that he was a conservative. He was a fundamental. He believed all the Bible, the miracles, everything else. He was a scribe. That is, we are to be scribes. We are to make information, truth, available to people. We do it by writing, and we do it by speaking. This scribe needs to be instructed unto the kingdom. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like. That's the reason he asked them, do you understand these parables? These parables are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and it's given unto you to know them. Some other folks out there, it's not given to them. But it's given to you scribes to know. You're going to be my scribe. And you need to be instructed unto the kingdom. That is the progress of the kingdom. It's moving along. The way salvation comes, it comes by the scattering, the sowing of the seed. And as the seed is sown, some of that that is sown is going to come up. And of that that comes up, some of it is going to survive. And of that that survives, some of it is going to survive long enough to bear fruit. Just some of it. Now, you need to understand that. If you don't understand that, you'll think every time you sow seed, you ought to reap something. You'll think that everything that comes up ought to survive. And you'll think that everything that survives ought to bring forth fruit. But it's not going to do it. But some of it is. You need to be instructed unto the kingdom so you'll know what's going to happen. What to expect to happen? The course of the age and the course of the end time. Things past and what we've done in the past. Things present and what we're doing now in the present. And what we can reasonably expect in the future on the basis of what's been done in the past. And that which we're doing now. And that which we are future concerned with. Now this scribe that's instructed unto the kingdom is likened to a householder. And this word householder simply means the man who rules his house. A man who rules and orders a house. It means a house despot. A dictator of a home. Now, I don't think we should think so much in this respect of a husband or a father being the head of the house, although this is a qualification and it does have some significance here, of a bishop and of a deacon should be one who rules his house well. He should be, as this word says, described by this word, a householder, one who rules his house. But the house that I'm talking about, the scribe that is instructed into the kingdom, should be a man who rules this house. Now, you're not going to be instructed in the kingdom and a worthy scribe until you learn how to rule your house. I'm talking about this one right here. A lot of folks trying to rule other folks' houses. You haven't learned to rule your own yet. That is, your own body. Your mind, your thinking, your soul, rule it well. Does your mind rule you, or do you rule your mind? Does your body rule you, or do you rule your body? Does your will rule you, or do you rule your will? That is, you must be the Lord and King of your own household, your own body. Now, you realize that we can only do that through the Holy Spirit. If we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. Keep it and order it. That is, you order its work, you order its health, and you order its behavior. I know a lot of men have gone, made a gospel out of health. and asceticism, something, things like that. And these are some examples of people straining at nets and going off on tangents. But simply because men have abused these principles does not mean they're good principles. If we're going to be instruments of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to rule our body and take care of it in health, give it what it needs, deny it what it does not need, and order our behavior, and order our work. This householder brings out the treasure. Every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure. Well, how did he get a treasure? Somebody tell me, how does anybody get treasure? You have to find it. You have to dig it up. Sometimes you work for it. Sometimes you earn it. You seek for it. Do you always get it all at once? How is treasure generally gotten? It's save it up, accumulate it. That's right. And a lot of times we think that's a bad word, saving and hoarding, gathering. But saving and hoarding does not necessarily have to be synonymous with greed and selfishness. The Bible says, he that provideth not for his own is denied the faith and worse than infidel. And that word provide there means lay up in store. That's exactly what it means. Lay up in store. And this is what it means. Now, you'll never have any treasure until you start picking things up. Pick them up, gather them, keep them, hoard them, put it up orderly where you can find it. Now, you just pile it up in a big pile, even though you've got it and it'll be any good to you. I need to preach to me about 2 months on this order here. I can never find anything I got. I'm talking about some of these mundane things of the world now. But when I talk about spiritual treasures, I'm talking about, what did he say? Do you understand these things that you heard? I'm talking about those things that you hear, those things that you receive, and those things that you understand. Accumulate them. You are to gather it for yourself. Now, you can't ever minister out of anything that you don't have. In due time, you bring it out. But you can't bring it out until you brought it in. You do not gather with this hand, put it in this hand, and hand it out. You gather with this hand and eat it. And then you give it out of yourself. All that you receive, it must become an integral part of you, yours. And then you bring out of your treasure, your household. What did he say? He that believeth in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But you have to gather for yourself, accumulate for yourself, store up these things, feed on them, nourish yourself on them, and then you bring out of those things. You can only give what you have. A lot of times folks are moaning and groaning because they're not giving and not doing and not doing. And maybe God wants you to be gathering for a while. But we don't need to get hung up on gathering, because there's times when we need to give. And we need to bring forth. What are we going to bring forth? Things old and things new. Things old and things new. That is, the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. The milk. You never get milk. And if you're going to bring forth, sometimes the only thing you can bring forth to some folks is milk and meat. There is a unhealthy trend that we have often, that when we learn a few new things, we get so excited excited about those new things that we forget the basic things. And those basic things, which are foundational truths, must always underlie the new truth. You don't have anything to build on. And if you just simply keep looking for new things, first thing you know, you leave yourself open to false doctrine and false teaching. And your whole faith becomes shipwrecked. Those old truths should be just as precious and real and fresh to us continually. Never discard basic things, because these basic things are the foundation of the deeper things and the greater truth. Not only that, but you're going to be bringing forth. And some folks can only receive some of those older things. I've made many mistakes like this in the past. I'd get so excited about something new that I just got, and I'd go out and try to communicate that to somebody else, and I would preach it, and the folks would look at me. They know what I was talking about. I say, oh, they just all full of the devil. They don't know what I'm talking about. Well, it wasn't them full of the devil. I was just naive in trying to try to get them to receive something that I would have not been able to receive until last week. Now, you ought everybody to jump on as high as you are already. And they didn't do it. Now, a wise scribe that's instructed in the kingdom, like a householder who brings out of the treasure of his heart those things that are things old and things new, and what determines what you're going to bring out? Well, what's necessary at that particular time? My wife gets ready to fix dinner. Well, she'll go get something out of the freezer, or out of the cupboard, it's maybe been canned 2 years ago. She might go out in the garden and pick some fresh cucumbers, something new. But it all depends upon what we need to eat and what's necessary at the time. When he says, rightly dividing the word of truth, he's not talking about rightly interpreting the scripture. But that word dividing means if you took a pair of scissors and took a page and clipped out this and clipped out, means to cut out, to sever. And to rightly divide the word of truth means to bring out that particular portion that's needful at this particular time. You need a treasure house. And you need those things to be stored there, so that when the time comes, the blessed Holy Spirit will quicken you to bring forth out of your treasure those things, whether it's fresh, brand new, whether it's something that you got 10, 15, 20 years ago, for that person that's needed right now. And then we need to be constantly gathering and bringing forth the new. There ought to be something growing, something hatching, and something maturing, something building up inside us all the time. We ought to be gathering little thoughts and little truths and letting them mature and come to full fruition. And it'll be just in time. When someone needs them, it'll be there for us to minister to them. And we'll know that it will minister to their needs because it ministered to ours. We know it'll mean something to them because it meant something to us. And that's why God gave it to you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you haven't left us unequipped. Thank you for the full record of the truth. And we offer our bodies to be renewed by you and unto you this day through the truth of your word, that we might minister life to others. In Jesus' name, amen.